Well, I hope through the stories and the songs and the prayers this morning, you are getting a sense of what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like when the Spirit of God is moving amongst God's people. So grateful for everyone who's leading and in this service today. Pentecost means the 50th day. And for these Jews that were in the city and from outside of the city on that first Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago, there was a celebration going on, and it was called the Feast of Weeks. It was this celebration of the harvest for the people of God. It was also a remembrance of Exodus and when Moses was given the law on Mount Sinai. So there's this big party going on in Jerusalem. And so in the midst of this bustling and noisy Pentecost Sunday, we read of these 120 believers who are gathered in one place. Probably a big house, probably an upper room or upper and lower levels of a big house. And they're getting up on a Sunday morning. And as we enter the story, you can imagine that, you know, the spiritual ones are praying and the other ones are just recovering from Saturday night festivities. And so in the midst of this, as we enter the story, this promised paraclete shows up, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, with a rush of violent wind, we read in verse 2. And each of these 120 believers then receives tongues of fire, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak these new languages, and then they spill out into the street amongst a huge crowd. There's probably 200,000 people in Jerusalem, 300,000, and in this busy street, probably in downtown Jerusalem, there's probably 5,000 people that are within earshot of these 120 believers running around speaking these new languages. And we read that the crowd is bewildered, amazed, astonished, perplexed at the people of God talking about God's deeds of power. Amazed, bewildered, astonished, perplexed. And the repeating question is, what does this mean? And I thought this might be a good place to pause in the story and ask a few questions. When we think of those outside our midst, our community of faith, or maybe even out of our four walls this morning in this sanctuary, is there anyone bewildered or amazed, or perplexed at what we are speaking of? Another question might be, are we speaking of God? And is there anyone outside of our midst that is asking, what does this mean? Or is there anyone outside speculating that we are drunk? Think about that. Why? Why not? I hope that these questions might prompt some Pentecostal ponderings for us. We're entering the season of Pentecost. It's a season of several months that we call the season after Pentecost. And it starts with today, the Sunday of Pentecost, where we recognize that the Spirit shows up. Not just one Sunday a year, but we set aside this Sunday to say, yes, the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit continues to come. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, people ask questions. And so when you look around our community of faith or look beyond the borders of our community of faith, are people wondering what is going on here? And my hunch would be that some of us would have stories of people who are asking, yeah, there seems to be something going on in your church. And even over the past several weeks, as we've heard these Seen the Lord stories, some of us on ministry staff have heard people asking about our church, saying there must be something going on there, and their interest is being piqued. And so if we continue to live into this Pentecostal identity, these are the affirmations that we ought to hear. That people are wondering what's happening at Jasper and 109th Street amongst those people called First Baptist Church. And I don't want us to think that, you know, this is a reason to get prideful or puffed up, but at the same time, as we listen to the heart of God and seek the peace and well-being of this city, then we're going to hear people being interested in this story of God's generosity, this story of God's welcome, this story of God's love, this story of God's hope, this story of God's healing that is talked about, that is celebrated, that is remembered, that is looked forward to. It made me think about our neighbors and this building, this 14-story building going up next door to us. And some people have said, well, isn't that just terrible that, you know, your skyline is getting clouded? And I've thought, no, this better be an opportunity for us, for these people. And we've heard, and Shannon, who's on the outreach committee and leading a group that's about to do a good neighbor project for the new people moving in. But we've heard that in the next 3 months, there's going to be probably 120 people moving in the first 6 floors. And then in the next several months after that, probably 150 people. And so 270 people moving next door to us. Yes, parking is going to be a royal pain in the patoot. But the good news is that we have, over the amount of people that are here this morning, in a place to overhear what's happening in this place as their neighbor. Will they hear that God's good deeds are being done in this place? That this place is a place of radical welcome, radical generosity, radical hospitality, radical grace. Will they hear that? So another thing for us to just enjoy and think about and pray about and press into during the season of Pentecost. And so as we wait for the interest to be piqued of all these people next door to us, as we wait for people in our neighborhoods, in our communities, to hear the good news of what's going on here in our place, what are we called to do? And who gets in on this? It's all of us. The radical news of this first Pentecost was this group of 120 believers were all a part of being speakers and proclaimers of God's good news. This is really a group of 120 nobodies, uneducated fishermen, women, which in this culture at this time were not that respected, and some of these women were probably of ill repute. You think about the Mary Magdalene story. Outcasts, recently demon-possessed, ex-lepers, ex-cons, thieves, crooks, misfits. That's this group of 120. So we should all be able to find a home in that group as the people of God here on a Sunday morning. And then we see Peter, this failure-laden fisherman. He's the one who gets to preach the first Pentecost sermon. And he says some simple things. He says, we're not drunk. I was thinking, wouldn't that be a great vision statement for our church? First Baptist Edmonton, we're not drunk. And then secondly, he says, we're filled with the Spirit, not with wine. And then he says, God's Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. Everyone gets in on this movement of God. And then fourthly, he says, the playing field's been leveled. We're all able to prophesy. We're all able to see visions. We're all able to dream dreams. And so in the closing couple of minutes here, that's my challenge to us as a community of faith. As we press into this season of Pentecost, let's be a people who prophesy, who speak the words of God to one another and words of hope and love to those beyond our community, to those new neighbors coming in. What would be those words of love and welcome and radical grace that we could speak to them? Secondly, let's be a people who see visions. That we would pray this prayer of Ephesians 1 where Paul the Apostle says, "Open the eyes of our hearts, O God, that we might see the hope that you have for us." So be a people who see visions, who see a way back, who see a way forward, who see a way to reach out to someone who maybe you'd never thought you might reach out to before. And then thirdly, might we be a people who dream. You might sometimes hear us pray that the dream of God would be done in this place, that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so dreaming isn't just this mystical, airy-fairy thing, but dreaming and being and proclaiming and living out the dream of God can be as practical as speaking a word of blessing versus a word of curse. It can be as practical as taking a risk and moving into a place unknown when all you've felt is just to stay in places that are safe and secure. As Barbara Brown Taylor says in her book, Home by Another Way, it can be as practical as breathing in and breathing out. She says, taking God into you and giving God back to the world again. As we move into this season of Pentecost, maybe just in the back of our minds, we could imagine that we're not FBC. But we're FPC, First Pentecostal Church on Jasper and 109th Street. All empowered by the Spirit, all encouraged to be a part of this God movement, all doused and drenched by the Spirit of God. We have a language to speak. We have visions to see. We have dreams to dream. I want to invite you into a quiet moment. Silent prayer, a time to listen. And I'd encourage you to listen for God's wind, God's gentle, loving, non-shaming spirit moving through this place today. And as we go into that moment of silence, I think the lines from the first stanza of our choir anthem might help us. Wind who makes all winds that blow. And in that first stanza, there were these phrases, aim your breath with steady power. On your church, this day, this hour. Raise, renew the life we've lost. Spirit God of Pentecost. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.